Hello, this is NY Bill, and I'm here with Cody Cooper.
Yes, that's
how you
correct.
Doing?
Good.
You made it again?
I made it again, second year in a row.
We were just talking. It's a bit of a haul for you to get here.
Yeah, I fly in from Portland, Oregon every year. So
the left coast.
The left coast.
It's a commitment, man.
It is, but it's worth it. I love the fest. I meet a lot of... Coming out here, instead of just going to fest in my local area, I met a lot of good people that I've been conversing with online for years.
Yeah, that's...
So it's always good to get out and meet the community in person if you have the ability to, and luckily I do.
That's exactly why I come to these. It's like, I talk to you guys online, you never meet face-to-face. This is a good excuse just to say, hello. And
oh, yeah.
So you're going to be involved in a talk today?
Yeah. I'll be on the Ask the Geek panel with Steve McLaughlin, Chad Wallenberg, and Martin Obando, and it'll be hosted by Russ Winter, the Techie Geek. It'll be
cool.
A good time.
Nice. Do you want to plug the show?
I'm a co-host of Linux to the Rest of Us, which is on the Podness Network. I'm a co-host with Stephen McLaughlin, a.k.a. the Door-to-Door Geek. Every week we release a show. We talk about all sorts of Linux news, tips, any sort of upcoming software or hardware that kind of catches our attention. We do interviews. We're about 160 episodes deep, so good, long-standing show. I'm the second co-host that's come on. Have a blast every week. And then, of course, just check out podnuts.com. We have a bunch of other great shows right now and a lot of good stuff in the works coming up real soon.
Very cool. Good to talk to you again.
You too, Bill. Take care.
See you.
So this is really cool. Bill and I are bouncing back and forth. Bill's trying to make a competition out of this. It's no fair because I'm really sleepy. But he's got at least four interviews, and I think I've only got two at this point. But something that he also just did, and I want to give him props for, he got X1101 not only to commit to recording an HPR episode, but he's going to do it right here on Bill's laptop where he's got a cool microphone stand set up and Audacity's already open for him. And X1101, you are the man.
Yeah, thanks. I've been meaning to do the obligatory How I Got Into Linux episode pretty much since I heard the first one and started listening to HPR a year ago, 9 months ago, something like that. I keep feeling like I owe an episode to the community, and I keep making excuses, and I got here, and Bill sat me down in front of his computer and said, "You don't have excuses anymore. Do it."
And now we're
a little nicer than that, but...
And now we're all looking forward to it, so thanks a bunch, man.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Had nothing to do with the punch in the arm.
No, it didn't.
Hello, this is NY Bill, and I'm here with Mrs. NY Bill, and I just stepped on her foot.
What is this for?
You're at Nelf again.
Yeah.
How are you liking it?
Is it okay that I'm being honest?
Yeah. It's not for you this year?
Well...
Last year you enjoyed it.
You got
some good talks.
It has pretty good talks this year too, but it is a little bit too small, I think.
It's too small this year?
Mm.
Well, they kept running out of... The venues kept shutting them down.
I was just talking to Bruce about it,
and people would say okay, and then all of a sudden at the last minute charge them double.
I know. I feel bad about all those people who organized these things. They didn't turn out very nice. I mean...
Yep.
As expected, so.
But it sounds like now they realize they're going to have to look for a permanent home, so.
Oh, really?
You'll come back next year if they have a permanent home?
That would be very nice.
Okay.
Because they actually bring good speakers, so.
Good.
The sessions are good.
Thank you for talking.
So what's the score now?
Hey, I don't know the score. This might be 3 for me. Hey, everybody, it's Pokey at Northeast Linux Fest again, and I am here with?
Langdon White.
Langdon White. Nice to meet you, Langdon. And you're here with Red Hat, is that correct?
Yep.
And what's Red Hat doing here today?
Well, we, obviously pretty invested in Linux, and so, our biggest engineering office in North America is in Westford, which is about 45 miles from Boston. When there's something, Linux related this close by, we'd be kind of remiss not to be involved. So, we normally sponsor this event, and we actually have a bunch of speakers here as well. So that's why we're here.
Excellent, excellent. And are you trying to bring in users or developers? Are you looking to hire all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. I mean, I think we're always looking to hire, particularly from this community, because that's where a lot of our people come from, and it's always interesting. you know, as far as users are concerned, I mean, I think we, you know, we appreciate users, but it's more, you know, we expect enterprises really buying our products rather than, you know, kind of consumer level stuff. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be here handing out hats, you know. You know, we like people to know who we are, and also we like people to know that we do more than Linux. You know, we also do JBoss and Cluster and OpenShift, which is platform as a service available online. And we're really heavily involved in OpenStack, which is kind of some of that next-gen kind of, you know, running ISPs and that kind of stuff. So that's why we're here.
And I will say, these hats are killer. These are awesome beanies you're handing out here today with the red band around the bottom, Red Hat logo on them. Those are killer. And so do you work for Red Hat, or are you a community member?
No, I actually work for Red Hat. I'm a developer advocate or developer evangelist. So I talk to developers about working on Linux, you know, and particularly our Linux. And I try to bring back their complaints and compliments to the engineering team and see what we can do differently or better to make it a better development platform. One of the big things that we launched in the past couple of years is we have this thing called the Developer Toolset. And Red Hat Software Collections. And Developer Toolset is bringing latest and greatest GCC to RHEL 5 and RHEL 6, so you don't have to be kind of locked into the tools that get shipped. Red Hat Software Collections is similar, but for the, like, VM world, so, like, you can do Python 3.3 on RHEL 6, and it's supported and everything else. But, you know, Python, PHP, Maria, MySQL, Postgres, we have Nginx out in beta, we have Node.js. But basically, there's a sweet spot that we generally play in for the big enterprise where you want to run something for a million years without changing it. But we're also recognizing that we want to be able to ship an environment for your kind of innovative apps where you want to refresh those more regularly, and you might want to run them on the same hardware.
But you want your platform nice and stable.
Exactly. So now we're shipping kind of stuff that only has a 3-year life cycle because you expect that you're going to rebuild it that regularly. So you want to, you know, and most people do this already, right? You pick for a particular app, you pick kind of its lifespan. And now you have another option for that tool chain rather than having to use the stuff that is native as your only choice. Now you can also choose to use these things called software collections, which will give you what we like to call it is, you know, latest stable. So it's not bleeding edge, but it's the stuff that most people are adopting, right? So we have Node.js 10, right? It's a pretty solid product. You know, it's still young, but it's way more solid than it was, and a lot of people are gravitating towards it. You know, we have Python 3.3. You know, people are finally committing to Python 3 series, and 3.3 seems to be what they're committing to. You know, similar with Python 2.7. You know, it's like, you know, people got off 2.6, and now they're, you know, really in 2.7. Ruby 1.9.3 was the same way, and Ruby 2 we just started shipping. So yeah, that's kind of the idea. Is we're trying to look at the community and know what people are really gravitating towards, and then try to ship that one rather than, you know, whatever is right off trunk, you know.
Excellent, excellent. How long have you worked for Red Hat?
Actually, 2 years, just a few days ago. So yeah,
you look like a pretty happy guy. They must treat you nice.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's a bit of a hike because I live in downtown Boston, but other than that, it's pretty good. And I travel around and talk to people about development, and that's fun.
That commute's got to be easy. You're in the lane with no traffic in it, though.
Yeah, right. Well, we actually run a bus out of Alewife, so I often do that. So I take the red line up to Alewife and then take the bus out to the office, so I don't have to drive.
Oh, good thinking. Good thinking. How are you liking the fest so far?
It's good. You know, I didn't get to go to any talks, of course, because I'm stuck in the room, you know, kind of watching the booth. But you know, a lot of the people are interesting. Yeah.
Are you the only one watching the booth? Are you here alone?
I am right now because everybody wanted to go to Rick's talk. But
right, right.
Yeah.
Is there any talks you're looking forward to seeing? You're going to make somebody man the booth for you?
I also wanted to see Rick's talk, but I actually have to take off early because I have to go coach a kid's soccer game. So I drew the short straw.
Oh, right on. Okay. Well, is there anything else you wanted to plug or anything personally you wanted to talk about?
No, I mean, I would have gone to all of the talks. I mean, honestly, you know, I really like Dimitri's talks about particularly his – because I was a web developer, right? So I'm not a Linux developer guy, right? I've used Linux for years and years, but I've always been like kind of further up the stack. And the stuff he's doing with kind of IPA and basically providing identity management to web stacks, you know, as I joke around with somebody, is like, you know, every single time you write an application, you have to write an employee table. IPA makes it so you don't have to do that, which is kind of nice. So I like his stuff. I like Rick's stuff because it's so far over my head. It's kind of awesome. And then there was something else I wanted to see too, but I don't remember what now. So, you know, there's good stuff. It seemed like a good lineup.
Yeah, I think usually Northeast Linux Fest itself records all the talks and hosts them. So at least you'll be able to get them the recordings of them.
Right, so I'll probably go back and watch them. Rick's I've actually seen before because he gave a similar talk at FOSDEM, and so I was there and saw at least half of it then. So
yeah, and for anyone listening to this episode, we'll make sure to get that in the show notes where we can find all these talks once they're posted.
Yeah, cool. And the only other thing I would plug is we have our developer conference in San Francisco week after next. It's a little late notice, but it's called DevNation. So even if you can't make it this year, you know, check it out for next year. It's kind of the combination of all of our developer conferences, you know, versus Summit, which is really about our products and about sysadmins. We've kind of created a conference that's directly about developers wanting to use our products as developers. And you should check out the schedule. It's insane. Like, it's just all over the place. And, you know, our joke is we didn't take any talk that was less than a level 3 in difficulty, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5.
Cool.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be really neat.
Do you have a URL for that?
Devnation.org.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
No problem.
Hey, hello. Well, you can type it to him. Hello, Ken.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Ken Fallon live from behind his computer trying to work out what is going on with the HPR Common System. How is everybody doing over there? I can't hear you.
We are talking, Ken.
Here. I can't hear you.
We don't have a cable plug.
No, seriously, I can't hear you.
Key up.
Hello?
How about now, Ken? Oh, shit. How about now, Ken?
You're muted.
I'm muted. Oh, so he didn't catch me plugging in either. Hey, Ken, how about now?
Can hear you now.
Right on. Hey,
we can do an interview.
Let me see. Yeah, we can interview you live from the Northeast Linux Fest.
Hello, this is NY Bill, and this is
cool.
Hey, let's do it, Rich.
Hey, this is Pokey and NY Bill and X1101, and we're interviewing Ken Fallon, who's not at the Northeast Linux Fest, but by the magic of the Ultranet, he's here over Mumble.
Intercontinental interview.
Hi, everyone. How's it going?
We're having fun, man. We're getting interviews and pictures and all kinds of HPR content. How about you?
I am fighting the website trying to get the commenting system working, but other than that, preparing for the community news.
As has been said many, many times by probably only me, we need a forum, man.
Actually, I've never heard that before. Any excuse to get rid of this commenting system, and I'm right there.
Kia. I've been using Linux Outlaws guys have been using Discourse lately, and I have to say it is pretty nice. So it could be something to look into.
And so were the guys over at Bad Voltage. They was actually the first one I used, and it's really, really nice.
Yeah, check out Discourse.
It's like kind of it's a forum 2.0. Mm. It's less bad than a forum.
Yeah, I heard the interview on what was it they did on? They were on twice on Floss Weekly. But unfortunately, the code isn't open.
We didn't know that. Okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was. If it's not, then that's definitely a big downer.
The deal killer, we call it.
Yeah,
the deal breaker.
Hold on, I'll check that. Because you can never trust an Irish guy.
I resemble that remark.
I trust you as far as I can throw you.
Hey, we're in Boston, man. This is the only place you can trust Irish
this
guys.
This is all Irish.
Yes.
Well, not Irish, like as hardcore as you are, but
the fighting Irish.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Ken, so how's it going over there?
It's going pretty good, man. We got interviews from all kinds of people who showed up. We got Paul here too from Paul.com. I got his interview. He's holding his hand up across.
Pictures are going up as I take them, Ken.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting
Excellent.
here. And I'm sitting here live recording my first episode.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, well done.
And editing. He's editing on our table live during the fest. It's wicked fun. And Bill's recording this. This will be on the recording.
And Discourse is 100% open source, next generation discussion platform built for the next decade of the internet. Well, I do apologize to everybody out there.
Apology accepted. And what would an HBR episode be without a Ken apology?
There you go.
There's nothing wrong with being wrong.
Somebody's name.
There's nothing wrong with being wrong, as long as you can, as long as you're big enough to admit it and say, "Hey, you know, I wasn't quite right there. Here's the truth."
Yeah, and I do it so very well.
I think I'm gonna leave my mic open because I keep missing the first part of what people are saying on you.
Yeah, fair enough.
There we go. And I do also want to check and see if Bill's got a nice stand mic. I want to see if that thing's able to record so I can give X1101 his cable back. I left my cable in the car, but I'll probably walk and get it. Hey, it's Chad Wallenberg. What's up, man?
Well, this Chad.
This is what that stand mic is what I used to record mine. It was through Audacity, but it's just, it looks like it's just, I'm afraid to unplug it while Audacity's
running. Don't mess with it.
Yeah.
Audacity is so flaky, you know?
Yeah.
He's saying, he's up to the editing part, and he's saying he doesn't like the sound of his voice, but we are going to twist his arm, and he will put it out.
Oh, I already was on a live episode, or one of your guys' interviews, both of you actually, saying I was going to do it. So,
oh, yeah, you're committed.
At this point, I've made a promise, and I'm not going to back down from that. That would just be bad form.
Yes, that will get you off on the list. Not that we keep lists.
You'd love it, Ken. There's a lot of communitying going on here.
Excellent.
I traveled 3 hours to get here and haven't been to a talk yet. I've been doing the hallway track.
Yep. We're out here, yep.
Nice venue, too. We got our own room here. The tables are a bit bigger than I was expecting.
They've actually got three rooms.
Real quick to tell you guys, there's a lot going on, and it's unusual.
Right. You are on. We're recording.
You know. Thank you, Chad. We're not editing
Chad,
that out.
That's copyrighted music, Chad.
That was less than 10 seconds.
iPad. I got an iPad.
You can't copyright Chad.
This song was infringed by Chad Wallenberg of the Linux Basement.
The 10-second rule only applies to the U.S. We're an international podcast.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Well, I don't know anything about international copyright law.
What time is the community show going to start, Ken?
I think in about a half an hour.
Half an hour. All right. I think I'm going to run and go get my own cable so that I'm not stealing anybody's or getting things mixed up. So I'll step away, guys.
Oh, well, we're done.
Roger, Roger.
I think we're going to lunch.
Oh, okay. Lunch? Did someone say lunch?
Yeah,
I'm up for lunch.
You want to go to lunch, Ken?
I'd love to.
Okay. We'll save you a place.
Are you planning on dialing in for the community news show?
We're getting interviews, but are you going to?
Yeah, I'm dialed in now. That's what this is for.
Oh, yeah. We'll come in and chat a bit. Okay.
Okay, well, then we'll start whenever you get back from lunch.
Cool.
Okay.
Thanks, Ken.
See
ya. Hey, Pokey at Nelf again, and I am here with Paul, right, from Paul.com?
Actually, it's kind of a funny story. We're actually not called Paul.com anymore. We changed our name to Security Weekly. And the story of how we had to change our name is happening next week at SOAR Boston, where we're giving a talk on hacking the trademark system. So I didn't actually hack the trademark system, but someone else kind of did. And it was interesting to learn how all that happened. So we're called Paul's Security Weekly is the name of the show. Security Weekly is the umbrella for our internet TV podcasts. We do a weekly episode that's 5 minutes called Hack Naked TV. So that's what we're doing, free internet TV and podcast on computer security and hacking.
Excellent, excellent. Now, how long have you been at it?
A little over 8 years. So we started in 2005.
Wow.
And we've done pretty much a weekly show, maybe, you know, 48 or 50 episodes a year since then.
So are you making a living at this?
No, it's not my full-time job. It's a pretty hefty side business now. There's probably at least 4 or 5 employees part-time. And then a bunch of hosts that participate. We have a studio now, 1,100 square feet, just south of here in Rhode Island, where we're doing two shows. We do Security Weekly, and I started up a cigar podcast, too. So both of those are now in the studio, which happens to be next to a cigar lounge, conveniently enough.
It's
great. Yeah, full-time I work for Tenable Network Security. I'm the product evangelist for the Nessus Vulnerability Scanner primarily.
Okay, so. Right on. And so...
but you're making money at podcasting and
yeah, so TV? It's kind of funny. Right now we have a full boat of advertisers on Security Weekly. I physically can't take on any more advertisers right now until we add some more people to help support them. So it's not making a living, but it's enough to keep the show going and they really help us push that next level. We want HD cameras. We want video switchers. Yep. Yesterday in our studio, a contractor came in and built some sets for us. So we have a cedar panel set in the background. We want to get furniture. So it's really just to kind of fund our hobby to be able to do really cool interviews and do our own TV show because it's fun.
Nice. A lot of guys have trouble just getting to where they can pay for hosting. It's impressive.
Yeah. I love adding all the equipment and doing all that stuff. It's so much fun. You know, we get all the geek toys to play around with, and it's just cool to be able to hack together your own TV show. You know, like the big networks do it, and I'll look at things like The Tonight Show or The Voice is like an example of probably the most expensive TV show to produce, and I'm like, how can we replicate that and spend a fraction of the money on it? So it's a lot of fun.
What's some tips and tricks you've learned recently that you're still excited about?
Yeah, so the best tip that doesn't cost a lot of money at all is on Amazon, you can buy really inexpensive lighting and backdrops. So like I went on Amazon and searched for some of the inexpensive lighting, and it's like $100 or less for a kit of lights that comes with all the bulbs and stands and everything. And then the backdrops are around $50 for a whole bunch of backdrops. Just that setup alone that costs a few $100 makes your video look so much more professional. Even with some of our cameras that aren't as great, that whole setup looks so much better with the right lighting. And now, lighting and even cameras and equipment have come down so far in price. You know, when we started in 2005, everything was really expensive. You can get a video switcher for $900, and it does a lot of the things that the professional ones that cost $20,000 do. That wasn't available before, and now it is, and it enables us to have our own show, which is really cool.
Are you leaving Amazon reviews so people can find this stuff easily?
I am not, but I will, and I should create a page and tell people what we bought so that they can replicate it as well, because I think I found some real gems on Amazon, and you're right, we need to make a bigger deal about that.
So. Yeah, it's fun when you find that diamond in the rough piece of hardware.
Yeah, exactly. The camera we bought was expensive, but it allows us to do mobile interviews now. So we're using a Canon XA10 to do our remote interviews, and we use it on the show. We travel to both cigar events and security and Linux general computer conferences as well. And we do interviews and we record footage. And that camera came recommended from the guys over at Hack 5. They've got a great show. And a documentary filmmaker that's done some documentaries in the hacking realm. He made this film called 2600. It was a hacker documentary. Jeremy Zarakak. They both said, dude, this is the camera for you.
That's so, going on my list of things to watch,
too. We saved up some budget, and it's been outstanding to be able to do what we couldn't do before for a little more investment and just let us create more content. So,
Awesome. And you you gave a talk today?
I'm giving a talk today at 4. It's on embedded device security. I've given a lot of talks on embedded device security, so the one that makes this one different is I'm going to talk about a really interesting, cool, and unique vulnerabilities on this particular firmware that went across multiple D-Link routers. There are at least two or three different researchers that have discovered vulnerabilities, written shell code for the platform, and I'm kind of piecing all that together to talk about basically everything that you should never do when you're designing an embedded device for security.
Is this a stock firmware, or is this something that people are hacking on there?
So this is stock firmware from D-Link. I believe it is Linux-based firmware that they're using on there. There is some source code available. A lot of guys have reverse engineered it. But that's just half the talk. The other half of the talk is I'm going to talk about 10 things that developers and embedded device manufacturers can do so that their devices aren't so horribly secure. So we talk about the vulnerabilities, the impacts, but also I'm kind of championing this thing this year to say, hey, let's be better, you know, across everything that's in our refrigerator all the way to running our power plants.
Please.
To your insulin pumps that are attached to people.
Yeah.
Let's be better. And here are 10 things that you can do to be better.
Yeah, not all those things are terribly difficult, are they?
No, it's like simple things, like don't embed a backdoor inside the firmware. And I'll talk today about what I think is one of the coolest backdoors ever that has been embedded in inside of an embedded device. It's called Joel's Backdoor, and the story involves Russians, it involves user agent strings, and just really cool stuff.
Wow, neat. So how are you liking the fest so far?
Oh, it's awesome. I love coming out to events and talking to people. You know, we're here with our Hack Naked shirts, which is a lot of fun, and it's been great so far.
Now, I don't remember seeing, is this your first Northeast Linux Fest?
Yeah, this is the first time that we've been here, yeah. It was an easy drive for us, so Jonathan invited us out, and I'm happy that he did.
Cool, cool. And are there any talks you're looking forward to or anything about it that's...
Yeah, every time I try and go to a talk, someone catches my ear and I end up talking to people, which I'm totally fine with.
The hallway track. Why,
yeah, it's the hallway track for me at most shows, which is great. I mean, this is my opportunity to come talk to people that listen to our show and talk to people that don't know about our show and kind of give them the pitch that we're here.
This is my fourth one. I think I've seen one talk.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yep, and it's fun. I'll just catch them online afterwards.
Exactly.
They're wicked fun. So is there anything else that I should be asking you about or you'd like to plug or anything?
No, just my talk next week at Source Boston, which is going to be a lot of fun. And we'll also be at DEF CON this year. I'm really excited about that. That's another great one where I don't get to see any talks, but you know, there's 15,000 hackers that converge. So that's a lot of fun, too. I want to make the community aware that what a fun event that is out in Vegas in August this year.
Excellent, excellent. One more time, what's the URL?
Securityweekly.com.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm going to rope you into an HPR interview right now.
Okay, yeah, let's give it a shot.
All right, so.
Okay.
We're at a party, it's like we're in high school or something. We're all drinking beers in a hotel room.
Yes.
And you were asking about HPR, and you might put up, you have some good ideas for episodes.
Yes, yes, so I get tons of ideas.
What name should we look for if we see episodes from you?
Look for Joe Maprost.
Joe Maprost?
Yes.
Do we have to roll the...
Yes, Joe, that is correct. You gotta say the Maprost.
All right, I think we can do it.
It's an African concept.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Maprosor is almost like a reference of a computer sort of guy.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Yes,
nice.
Yes.
And you just took the exam of?
Yeah, the LPEC, the Linux Professional Institute.
Very cool. This would fit right in with an HPR.
Yes, yes. The test is not to be taken lightly.
Yeah.
I took it lightly, you know, the first time. Yeah, you know, you go through the man pages, you know, you go through the objectives, and then you go in the exam, and oh my God, oh, I didn't make it.
We kind of talked a bit earlier, we can be a bit cocky going into an exam or something, thinking we know everything about Linux,
correct.
And then boom.
Yes, yes.
The CEO is like that.
Get in closer.
Yeah, that's how
I... You should say you're Nick.
I don't have one.
You don't have a Nick?
No.
I'm going to give you one if you don't have one.
Okay. Right.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I went in there thinking it's going to be a piece of cake. Don't worry about it. Day before, I looked through man pages, looked at the objectives. No problem. But in the actual exam, you're going to go in there and then, I know this, but I kind of, okay, I forgot, but... And then you give the wrong answer.
Yes, yes.
You
I've
know?
Been to many exams.
Yes,
you start getting the sweaty palms.
Yes, yes, yes. So, but I took the second time around, it gives you a pride because they tell you have, when you fail the first instance, you have to take it again after 7 days. So after 7 days from when you get out of there with the disappointment, oh my God, I didn't make it. And, you know, my girlfriend's stuck by me and, the disappointment, how did it go? I kind of didn't make it. And, next time. And she stuck by me, and I said, okay.
Very cool.
7 days later, I said, okay, I'm going to show them.
You should about the trials and tribulations, the pitfalls you might have had. That this is very good. This would be a good episode.
Yes, some of the trials and tribulations was, number one, ever undermine the exam. It's big deal. Yeah, number two is, you got to prepare. Run some, everything on the objectives, you got to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, all the commands they're looking for and stuff like that, just run them out, run all the, everything they're asking for. You got to go through all the man pages, you got to try all the examples, everything.
Now, I haven't, Red Hat, you got one.
He's got one. I'll show you what I got. I'll show you, let's see if I can... See if I can find it.
So I haven't taken this. What type of like literature do they give you beforehand?
Well, basically they give you the objectives.
It sounds like they give you literature and an objective, and then when you got in the test, they threw you a curve.
Yes, pretty much. So basically, well, it's distribution neutral.
Okay.
So when you go in there, they ask you Debian questions.
Yeah, I'm
they
a Debian guy or an Arch guy, but if you ask me some Red Hat or RPM stuff, I'd be lost.
Right, and in the Debian portion of it, they go into details like upgit and all that stuff.
So together we could have done it. I could have done the apt-get stuff, and you could have done the what?
Right.
We'll take it together.
Yum.
You can do the yum stuff, yes.
Yum and RPMs and stuff like that. And there was another question that threw me off about compiling. You know, you can convert RPMs to Debian
Alien.
And vice versa. Alien. Yes.
I know it.
I knew that. But I kind of was like,
falls
oh,
out of your head when you have the testing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, when you look at the objectives, you don't pay too much attention. Oh, okay. No problem.
I
when
got
it's
it.
Exam time, they were going into details. Like, all right, there was a question that threw me off about.
I think they do it on purpose a bit. They're trying to weed out.
Yeah.
They're trying to weed out who can do it under pressure.
Yes. About RPM queries.
Yes.
RPM queries and the options they give you. You know, off the top, as a Linux guy, off the top of your head, you think, oh, well, you're curing a package. You're looking into option Q and then L and stuff like that. They went into more detail.
Yeah,
like,
going right into every switch and every
switch and stuff like that. Yeah.
This would make a good HPR if you could give people a little bit of a warning about what's coming up.
Yes.
When we were talking earlier, you have another interesting thing. Somehow you got Fedora on a Surface?
Yes, so Microsoft Surface.
How did you get around EUFI?
Well, there's several techniques you have to. I looked at a few YouTube videos. There's a guy on there that shows you the whole process of how to bypass the UEFI. That's what they call it, right?
I don't know. EUFI. We're close. We had a few beers, so it's got to be one of those.
Yes. It wasn't easy, but it was successful, and it runs smooth.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and,
so cool.
And I was telling my girlfriend the other day.
Somehow he forked Fedora onto a Microsoft Surface, and we're wondering how he does that. That would be a good tutorial.
He's very amazing.
We were in the mall. Best Buy. Guy comes over and is, oh my God, look at the latest Microsoft, this and that. That's great. And, yo, first he comes to me and he says, you in the market looking for a laptop? I said, yeah, maybe. And he starts showing me, oh, look at this old touch screen. I wasn't interested in that. I said, I was like, so I asked the guy, like, would I be able to remove Microsoft on there and put Linux on there?
Can I get a refund for Microsoft? That's that one.
Oh, yeah. The guy kind of didn't like my question. He's like, oh, my God, what's the problem with this guy? And he had some other guy come over and say,
they don't like when we show up and the geek squad is there. They're like, what's that? A command line?
Windows has one of those?
Windows is... A lot of those guys are like, a command line? I'm just like... So, I think we got you roped in for at least one or two or three HPR shows.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're
going
to look forward to it.
That's awesome. He was showing, where is it?
We're still recording, so we're saying that goodbye.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to do some more stuff with you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, I got more tutorials. And,
look me up if you got a question, nybill at gunmonkeynet.net.
Okay, nybill, okay. Okay.
For some reason, I picked an avatar that is a chimpanzee with a .45, and they called me Gun Monkey, and it stuck with me forever. So we'll talk, man. And
Definitely.
If you got problems putting the show up or whatever, I'll help you through it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I
think you're my longest interviewer today.
Oh, yeah?
Good to talk to you, pal.
Nice talk.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.